Go with me, if you would, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3. Any time a man stands up to truly preach a message from the Lord, that man is at the mercy of the Lord as to what the message is. There have been many times that I've wanted to preach on a particular passage or a particular subject, and I've tried and tried and tried, but the Lord just didn't give me a message on it. If it's of the Lord, if it really is of the Lord, we're at the mercy of the Lord as to what the message is. On Wednesday nights, I'm always begging and praying that it would be a message of comfort. That's what I feel Wednesday night needs, comfort. And I always look for a message of comfort, and I believe the Lord, most of the time, that's what He gives us, is a message of comfort. Tonight is no exception. There's no but. Tonight is no exception. I believe I have a real message of comfort. When I tell you that this has comforted me, I mean this. The Lord speaks to me and helps me, and I believe feeds me in the study. And then it's my turn to come and feed the brethren. But I have fed on this. The Lord is just... I ask the Lord to help you and feed you and bless you. This has just really comforted me. Our message is going to come from one verse, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Solomon said, what God does is forever. He said, I know that what God does is forever. It's forever. In this sinful world that we live in right now, nothing stays the same. If you're in a good moment, you better grab it while you can. Really, nothing stays the same. You cannot count on anything remaining constant. You just cannot count on anything. Everything about us changes. Everything around us changes. Everything in us changes. Martin Luther said, feelings come, feelings go, feelings are deceiving. You can't count on them. They constantly change. But Solomon said, I know that the things that pertain to God, they don't change. They don't change. What God does stays that way. This is the best news I've ever told in my life. What God does stays that way. Yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to these scriptures. I was going to have you turn. I'll have you turn a little bit here in a minute, but too many. I'm going to quote some scriptures that mention the word forever. Psalm 45, verse 6, it says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's the best news we could ever hear. When He sat down on that throne, He took that seat to be His seat forever. Psalm 146:10 says, The Lord shall reign forever. Forever. Psalm 48, verse 14 says, "Tell this to every generation that follows you." That's what the end of verse 13 says. It says, "You tell this to every generation that follows you." This God is our God forever and ever. Forever and ever. He is our God forever. What if the horrible news was written? What if, you know, we believe what's in the pages of this book. We open this book, we read it. By God-given faith, we believe it. All right, what if the horrible news was written that this God would be our God for 1,000 years, and then after that, another God will take over, and we'll see what happens. Like when you get a president. You know, you get a president for 4 years, and then after that, we'll see what happens. What if the horrible news, this God is our God forever. Forever and ever. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." My flesh and my heart is failing me. That's what he said. My heart is just breaking. My flesh is dying. Everything about me is failing. But God is my strength. He's the strength of my heart, and He's my portion. He's what I get forever. He will uphold me, and I'll have Him forever. He'll hold me, and I'll hold on to Him forever. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "His word shall stand forever." His word on all these matters, it will never change. It'll never change. What God does is forever. What He does is forever. All through the Scripture, it speaks of His everlasting covenant. So many places. I looked up everlasting covenant. So many places. Everlasting covenant. That means the promise He made to God concerning His people. The promise that He will never break. Never break it. He will never break His promise. He made a promise, and He'll never break it. It is an everlasting covenant. Isaiah speaks of our everlasting salvation because of His everlasting kindness and everlasting strength. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "His mercy is everlasting." Psalm 119 says, "His righteousness is everlasting." Ephesians 3 says, "His purpose is an eternal purpose." Whatever He purposed, it's an eternal purpose. Hebrews 9 says, "Our inheritance is an eternal inheritance." It is an eternal inheritance. Here's the point. What God does is forever. If He did it, it's forever. Does that comfort you? That brings so much comfort to me. So much comfort. Now, with that being understood, I pray, comfort us with 5 forever settled truths concerning what our God has done for us. What God does, what God has done is forever. If God does it, it's forever. If He did it, it will stand forever. So here are 5 things for us to dwell on that our God has done for us. And because He's the one who did it, we can count on this as being unchangeable. This is unchangeable. ordered and sure, forever settled in heaven for us, concerning us. All right, here's the first one. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 11. It says, "But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He obtained eternal redemption. You know, you think about somebody messed up, and then they do something and totally redeemed themselves. Okay, you're back in now, all right? Eternal redemption for us. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 11. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Because God was the one who hung on that cross 2,000 years ago. Because he was the one. Because God was the one who cried, "It is finished." Our redemption is forever. It's forever. I cannot ruin it for myself. I've said that phrase so many times, I appreciate it more now than I ever have in my life. The older I get, the more I learn of my sin. And I can't ruin it. If God did it. You know, somebody said, "You believe in once saved, always saved?" Somebody asked a preacher one time, "You believe in once saved, always saved?" He said, "Well, that depends on who saved you. If you saved yourself, no. But if God saved you, if God did it, what God does is forever. And I can't mess it up. And I can't ruin it. And nobody else can ruin it for me. What God does is forever. He made one sacrifice for the sins of his people. It only took one sacrifice for the sins of his people because everything he does is forever. If he made a sacrifice, it's forever. Because of his one offering, we have an eternal advocate with the Father. It took one offering. That's all it took. And he can advocate for us. We have an eternal intercessor. No matter how sad and unfortunate and awful our sins are, they will never undo or make void or ruin his redemption that he made for us. That payment, that purchase price that he paid in full. If he paid it, it's paid. If he paid it, it's paid forever. What God does is forever. That payment will stand forever. In Christ, we have an eternal redemption. All right, number two, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. I'd love to really enter into this just once. Romans 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," really pay attention to these words, "the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We talk about God's grace. We talk about God's gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because it was God that raised us up together with Christ after that redemption payment was made, paid in full. And God said, "I'm satisfied." And because God is the one who raised us up together with Christ, quickened us to life again in Christ, because it was God that did that, we are going to live forever. We're going to live forever. I know that that is hard to enter into. I know it's hard to imagine. I know it's hard to believe. Some things are hard to believe, hard to be understood. But what God does is forever. When He said live, He meant forever. Forever. Whoever lives and believes in Him will never die. Never die. When you get home after this, you're going to take your church clothes off and you're going to put some PJs on. And that's no different from the moment we take these old filthy rags off of this body and put our home wear on. Does that make sense? It's all it'll be. You just take them off and put it on. Live forever. The moment we're absent from this body, we'll be present with the Lord. We're going to live with Him. We're going to dwell with Him. Right now, we dwell with each other. We're going to dwell with Him. We're going to see Him. He's going to say hello to us. We're going to eat with Him. We're going to drink with Him. I hug almost all of you. I'm a hugger. So is our Lord. We're going to walk with Him. We're going to talk with Him in the reality of eternal, eternal, never to die, never to even fear dying, because it's not a possibility. Never ending, eternal life. That's what Christ our God secured for us. We talk about this, what He did for us. If we could ever get a hold of it, this is what He did. This is the gift that was given to us. Eternal life. Eternal redemption. Eternal life. What God does is forever. Number three. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who could ever possibly separate us from His love for us? He said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." In both directions. Everlasting to everlasting. Because it was God that loved us. Because it was God that commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners, had greater love than all, sent His Son to be the propitiation, and loved us to the end. Because it was God that did that, what God does is forever. It is forever. It's not that we loved Him. It's that He loved us and He will love us forever. Some of you may feel this way. Some of you may not feel this way. I believe all of us feel this way, whether we realize it or not. I believe I speak on behalf of most believers in saying We all know that we sin all the time. We know we can't do anything, but there are times when we mess up. And every time we sin against Him, something in us wonders if He is still going to love us as much as He did before we sinned against Him. Something in us, whether we recognize that or not, we are ashamed before Him. We fear His chastening on us. And sometimes we worry that with each sin, He's just going to love us a little less and a little less until finally His love is just gone. Because I'm still doing the same old mess I was doing. It's just more apparent now. You know what I'm talking about? He's got to be getting tired of me by this point. Listen to this. What God does is forever. It's forever. If He ever loved us, He always will. I know we're unlovable, but if He loved us yesterday, before the foundation of the world, He will love us today, and He'll love us forever. What God does, everything that God does, is forever. He does not change, and that's why we're not consumed. It's forever. Hold your place right here and turn to Psalm 132. This is number 4. Psalm 132, verse 13. It says, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever." This is my rest forever. Hearing that, the Lord chose Zion. He desired it for His habitation. He said, "I want to be with them and dwell with them." Hearing that is my rest forever. There remains a rest for the people of God. That's what Hebrews 4 says. There remains a rest for the people of God. Christ is that rest. And because Christ is the one that secured that rest, we are going to rest forever. We're going to rest forever. That's what eternity is going to be. Rest. That's what God accomplished for us. Through the work, you think about it, He said, "I finished the work." Through His work, we receive rest. Eternal redemption, eternal life, eternal love, eternal rest, and all of that brings number 5, eternal peace. Eternal peace. Turn to Isaiah 9. I don't ever get tired of reading these verses. Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end." No end. Because God was the one who went to war with our sin, endured the war of the cross against our sin. Because He ended that war, we're going to enjoy peace forever. We're going to have peace forever. Peace on all sides. peace roundabout forever. That's so comforting to me. I'm looking forward to that. Flip back to Romans 8. I wanted to read these verses. We can't talk about this without reading these verses. Romans 8, 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's good news, isn't it? Because God accomplished all of that for us, it's forever. It'll never be able to. Forever and ever. Let me leave us with a little benediction verse here, okay? Turn to Psalm 106. We'll close with this. Psalm 106. This will be our final word on the matter. Psalm 106, verse 48. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." We're going to get to bless Him because what God does is forever. We're going to get to cry blessing and honor and glory and praise forever. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And let all the people say, "Amen. Praise ye the Lord." What God does, what God has done for us is forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's all stand together.